Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. The abundant grace and mercy of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will we grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and he will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peacefully?" He said, "Peacefully. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 23 responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the
Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you.
I'd invite you to be seated. This is a very long story, and it's easier listened to than read, so I would invite you just to listen to the story. Of course, you're welcome to read along if you are more visual than oral. The story is found in the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed, and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is not this the man we used to see, who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, just somebody who looks like him. But he kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking, then how are your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and then said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. And they said, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who formerly had been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also began to ask him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, well, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, tell us what you have to say about him. It was your eyes that were opened. And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, so they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How is it that now he sees? His parents answered, we know that this is our son. We know that he had been born blind, but we don't know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who it is that opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed that Jesus is the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, ask him. He is of age. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I've already told you, but you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." And the man answered, "How astonishing! You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes?" We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it ever been heard that anyone has opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You are born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. When Jesus heard that they had driven him out, he went to find him. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. So there was a child born, a baby born into this family, where they doted on her every movement. She would, even before she would cry, the parents would pick her up and feed her or change her, anticipating her every want or desire. She was perfect in their eyes. But as the years passed, the parents became concerned because this little girl never spoke. And they took her to the doctors and had her tested to see if there was something wrong. And the doctor said, "There's nothing wrong with her physically. She should be able to speak." Well, the years went on, and she was 4 years old, 5 years old, and she had never spoken. And all of a sudden, one day, she blurted out, "Would someone please give me a glass of water?" And the parents were just shocked. And they said, "You can talk. Why haven't you ever spoken before?" And she said, "Well, up till now, everything's been okay." Do you know what your first words were? If you're the eldest in the family, your mother probably kept a baby book where your first everything was dutifully recorded. So you could probably find out what your first words were. I read yesterday, as I was doing research on this part of my sermon, that 98% of children's first words is no. 98% of the children, their first word is no. Do you know what God's first word? Does anybody know what God's first word? Well, Jennifer knows because she heard the sermon before, and Dora. Okay. Genesis, at least the first recorded words in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light. Let there be light." Well, today's good news is that light that God declared has come into the world, and that light is Jesus Christ. This wonderful story that John tells, with almost slapstick kind of story, is told for one reason, and that is to show us that Jesus is the light of the world, sent by God to change our darkness into light. The man who sat in darkness was brought to the light, not only physically, but spiritually. And on the other hand, it's also a story about those who thought they could see were blinding themselves to the light and plunging deeper into darkness. This story, with all of chapter 9, starts out with verse 1, a blind man who will gain his sight, and ends with verse 41, with the Pharisees who thought they could see being declared spiritually blind. There are three big lessons in John's gospel for today that he's teaching us. The first and the most obvious lesson is the triumph of light over darkness. Every time the preschool children gather in here a couple times a week for preschool chapel time, I light the candle, and as I light the candle, I say, this is to help us remember that we are in God's house, and the children all respond together, and Jesus is the light of the world, and they love saying that together. Now, I'm not sure how theologically sound that is for them. I mean, I don't know what three-year-olds and four-year-olds understand about Jesus being the light of the world. But like the blind man in the story, their faith will grow. They will gradually come into understanding what that really means as their faith and understanding grow. They know that the candle brings light into the darkness. And they, as their faith grows, they'll be able to understand how Jesus brings light into the darkness. The blind man in the story gradually came into understanding of who Jesus is. When the story starts, the first question he is asked, you know, how did this happen to you now that you can see? Tell us what it was about. And he says, well, some man named Jesus, I don't know where he is. I don't know anything about him. He just says, a man. When the Pharisees call him in and ask him to tell them the story, the first time he says, well, I don't really know, but he's a prophet. So he's developed his, he knows a little bit more about him. The next time he says, he is of God. And at the end, the fourth time he's questioned, or the fourth time we hear him, he says to Jesus, you are the light of the world. You, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. And he worships him. His faith grows slowly through this story. As the blind man was gradually coming to a spiritual awakening, as the blind man is gradually coming into the fullness of light, the Pharisees are gradually becoming more and more in the dark. They are stubborn, and the truth is not there. They fail to see the truth. First of all, our first meeting of them in this story, they are concerned about Jesus because he broke the Sabbath law. They weren't at all even interested in the blind man. They were interested in Jesus breaking the Sabbath law. It was against the law to knead, to make bread or to stir, to mix. I don't know if it was against the law to spit, but Jesus spit on the ground, and then he mixed that spittle to the dirt and made mud. And that made the Pharisees mad because he broke the law. He mixed the mud. They were concerned about Jesus breaking the Sabbath law. And I think Jesus was really, didn't even ask for healing. And he'd been blind since birth. What would a couple more hours? Begging. He knew where to find him if he would just come back the next day. He wouldn't have had to break the Sabbath law. So Jesus is teaching us something here. Wants to get the attention of the Pharisees. When the Pharisees interrogated the man the second time, their main interest was finding out the truth. They're not so much interested in the man, but trying to discredit him. You weren't blind at all. You must be somebody else. You can bring the parents in. Discredit his story. Tell us one more time what happened. Explain to us one more time. The ones that were sitting in judgment on Jesus because he broke the Sabbath law find themselves being judged by Jesus at the end of the story. Well, in addition to that teaching about Jesus being the light coming into our darkness, there's a clear teaching in this story about who Jesus is and where he comes from. He says it himself, that he is the light and he is sent by God. If this were not the truth, then Jesus would not have been able to bring sight to the blind, nor would he be able to judge those who were stubbornly resisting the truth. The man had been thrown out of his home church, and when he got thrown out, Jesus went and looked for him. I think this is good news for me and good news for us today, that Jesus is searching for us. Jesus is seeking us. It's not so much that we are looking for Jesus, that whether we're living, basking in the light, or whether we're in the darkness, Jesus is seeking us. Jesus is looking for us. And what does he do when he finds the man in the story? He says, he clearly explains who he is and brings him to complete faith. That's what Jesus does for you and I. Jesus is always looking for us, seeking us so that we can know the truth about him. This story that we hear today is always used around the world. This is the scripture that's given for this Sunday as we get closer and closer to Easter. We hear this story with its baptismal underlining because we're getting ready for that baptism celebration on Easter morning, or the renewal of baptism for us who have already been baptized. The man who was born blind from birth relates to you and I, who have been born into sin from birth. We're always, that's who we are. The man was sent to wash and gains his sight. We are washed and healed in the waters of baptism. As the blind man revealed to the Pharisees who Jesus is, what he had done for him, how he had regained his sight, and how he believed now that Jesus is the Messiah, we also are sent from the font to tell that truth to others, to bring that light to the rest of the world. And our second reading today clearly states that we do that by living as children of the light. We don't all have to be evangelists. We don't all have to stand up and preach. But we do that by living as children of the light. The reading today from Ephesians says, we do that, living in the light, by seeking everything that is good and right and true. That's our sending word from the font. From when we got baptized, we are sent to seek everything that is good and right and true. God's first words were, "Let there be light." Let that be our constant prayer, our daily prayer. We pray, let there be light. Let me be the light in the world, especially in those places where there is darkness in our world today, especially in those places where the light is barely flickering. Let us be light in our world. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen.